Oh, buenos días, ¿cómo estamos? Dios les bendiga. Es un placer estar aquí con ustedes. Who understood some of that? Yeah, all right. Yeah, we have some the gift of tongues here. Well, it's a blessing to be here in Bethlehem Baptist Church, and I appreciate Pastor for allowing us to be here. And every time I see that sign, I feel like we're celebrating Christmas. yes, sir. Sure. Oh man, it's a blessing also to yesterday spend some time with Pastor. Appreciate the invitation. We enjoyed it. It's great to be here in rural Wisconsin. Would this be considered the boonies of Wisconsin? A little bit? Not so much, huh? A little bit. I guess once you start seeing the people around, you're like, oh yeah, maybe. Just kidding. but it's a blessing. It's a blessing also to celebrate and celebrate the 250th anniversary of this country. I'm thankful and you know, for what it stands for and what it has given me. Or I mean, through. Obviously, we through God, right? But I am thankful to have grown up here. I grew up here since I was 7 years of age, and so at the age of 7, my parents moved us here to the U.S. And I'll tell you what, there is no better country than the U.S. And it's a great country, and not just that it's a great country itself, but for what it stands for, and for what it's been known for throughout time. It was a nation founded upon biblical principles, and that is what's made it great. And so, you know, nowadays it's sad what turn America has taken, and has literally gone turning away from its foundation and going very humanistic. And so, it is a very sad state of time that we live in. But we cannot dwell on that. There's a place. There's still people. There's still hope. If they're still alive, and if it's still a nation, there's still hope for America. And so the Bible tells us that righteousness exalteth a nation, right? And that is very true. And so when God came and died for us, and we accept Him in our heart. And we are made righteous through His blood. And so righteousness exalts the nation. The more Christian, the more saved people we have, the better it is for a country, for a society, for your future. And so it is very dire. It's a very, very good thing for us to be sharing the gospel, for us to be preaching the gospel. And so that is something that we should be doing. As I mentioned, I'm thankful for this country. And so, happy belated 4th of July. A couple hours late, right? But you're looking at me and saying, "Who are you?" Maybe you haven't been aware, but I am a missionary. I am a missionary to Mexico, Oaxaca, Mexico, in the southern part of Mexico. Oaxaca is about the same size of Indiana, and with 60% of its population. And so for you to cross Indiana, the whole state, I would say, I don't know how much it'll take you, but I would say no more than 3 or 4 hours, right? But for you to cross Oaxaca from one end to another, it'll probably take you 7 hours. Just the infrastructure is really, really bad in Mexico. The roads are terrible. And that's one other thing to be thankful for. See, the things that we complain here in America, a lot of people would be thankful to have in other places on earth. And so who here has been out of country? Who here has gone to a place, to maybe a third world country? That's one, two hands, three, four, five. And what about six? What about Mexico? Anybody been to Mexico? I got one, two people to Mexico. Wow. Okay. Anybody been to Oaxaca? That'd be interesting if I see a hand go up. Nobody to Oaxaca? I didn't expect you to. But anyways, A little bit of my story here. I grew up, as I mentioned, in here in the U.S. ever since I was seven, and I remember coming into the U.S. and seeing all this beautiful landscapes, all this greenery, and all these buildings, and I remember being just lost as a young boy. Not lost like I'm meaning not spiritually, but just lost in the whole. And the beautiful nature that America has, and the structures, and just I remember going into our home, and as well my mom just huddled us up together, my two sisters and myself, and we sat down in the carpet, and she opened the Word of God and just started sharing the scriptures, and I didn't know it then, but it would have been the Romans Road, and open the Bible and start sharing the verses, and then at the end she asked us to do a prayer, and I did, and that was it for me. And not until my early teen years that I realized that I was a lost young boy. And so young teen, I was lost. And so it wasn't until I was in church and the bathroom, and I realized, man, if I die, I am truly going to hell. And so it was then that I bowed my head and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, right, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. And so I do believe that prayer, that we ought to pray to receive Jesus in our heart. Now, but the main thing is believe, right? And so if you don't understand what you're believing in, you don't understand what's going to save you. And so it was then that I realized it was Jesus who paid for my sins. It's not a prayer that's going to take me to heaven. It's rather you believe in the name of Jesus Christ that it's going to take you to heaven. You believe that he came and was buried, or died, buried and resurrected that third day. And I'm thankful for that. And so at the age of my early teen years, so when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I remember even growing up that, well, my parents were drug addicts, and so they drugged me to church on Wednesday, drugged me to church on Sunday morning, and drugged me to church on Sunday night. Did you guys get that? No, I want to clarify that. They drugged me to church, drug addicts. They weren't drug addicts like you think, like, you know, we have nowadays. I'm just saying they drugged me to church every single day, every single time that the church opened their doors. I remember my dad was a teen pastor, and so the adult teen pastor, and so we would be on church in church on Sunday, and then Monday there's nothing for Monday. Tuesday we'd go soul winning as a church, and then Wednesday we'd have church, and then we had church on Thursday, and then Friday we had a teen adult class, and so adult teens class, and so we would have church on Friday, and then Saturday we'll have soul winning again. And so my life, it just seemed like it revolved around church. And so but I'm thankful for that. I remember when I would get sick, I'd be having a runny nose, or just even having a fever. My boy's I asked he would pray for my little one. He woke up with a fever, and so that's not that we weren't expecting that. It's not that anybody expects their boy to get a fever, right? But I asked that you would pray for him. But anyways, even if I wake up with a fever, my dad would say, "You just get ready and wait for me in the car, all right?" And so when we get out the car, you can go back home. And so that's what we did sometimes. And so, but that was just my dad, and he was in the army, and quite a few years in the army, actually 5 years, and so he just raised us that way, very strict. And then the grandchildren came, right? And then there was a different story. It's a different story when the grandchildren come. It's like they forget what happened when we were young. Anyways, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19 to 20, and We're going to read here just these three verses. Obviously, we're here at the resurrection, verse chapter 28. We see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? And then how he rose from the dead. And then he appears to some after his resurrection. And then we have here his account of his resurrection. And so, listen, church, where other religion ends, Christianity had just barely begun. Brahma, Allah, Muhammad, all these religions, their religion ends at death. And I'm thankful that Christianity, that's not the case. It was just the start. It was just the beginning of it. And I'm thankful for that. And so here is when we have, also we also have here the verse 13 says here, saying ye, his disciples came by night and stole him. Then we have the lying of the soldiers, right, and how they try to bribe people to say otherwise and lie about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to go to verse 18, I'm sorry. And when Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So there's a promise there at the end that he will be with the church even unto the end of the world. It is the doctrine of perpetuity, right? And so, but here we go, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And Jesus is the one who has power. And we see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then as well as we see that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is something special in the gospel, and that is Jesus. And Jesus has all power. And that's what we need. When you share about Jesus, you're not just merely sharing just about a normal person. You're sharing about someone who has the power. There's power in it to change lives. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says, now, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you are to teach all nations. And it says to baptize in them, preach, right? Go therefore and teach all nations. Preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then it also brings the word again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Merely just sharing the gospel and telling them, preaching the gospel to a person is just merely doing just a little bit of what Jesus has commanded us to do. Right after a person is saved, then we are to share the scriptures with him to get baptized, right? And then if you go throughout the Bible, you find that baptism is immediately after the somebody gets saved. And so it's immediate. It's something that should be done right after. And you can study that on your own, but that's what the Bible shows us. And so we have to follow that example. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you. And so we had to teach. It's a good thing that, you know, we are learning. And so he commands to teaching them to observe. And so as and who for somebody to be teaching, there's someone to be learning. And so there's a group of people that are learning, and that is us, right? We ought to be learning. And so we ought to be taught, a lot of people say, you know, hey, it's good for me to stay home. It's good for me to, I don't agree, you know, I don't agree in church. I don't agree to personally just go, Jesus is everywhere. And then aside from not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, right? That's another verse right there. But, you know, Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Can I tell you, it's different when you come to church and sit down and just put your 100% attention to the speaker, to the one who is the teacher that day, right? And it's opening the Word of God. And so it is a commandment for us to teach. And so if there's a teacher, there had to be someone who's learning. And that is us, the church, right? And so it is a good thing. It is a good thing for us to come to church. Do not ever change your mind about church. There's so many people who think wrong about church and come to church. That should never be the case. We should be coming to church. If you let a fanatic of a sport, a fan, choose whether he'd like to see the game through a TV, through a monitor, or physically be there in the stadium, you and I know what they'll pick, right? You know, you and I know what they'll choose. Isn't that right? They'll choose to be at the stadium. And so that's what we have to do. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to choose to be there with God's people, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Anyways, I don't want to get off and chase a rabbit here, but teaching them to absorb all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so here, what did the Bible here emphasize, or Jesus emphasize the gospel? Why? Because I believe it changes not just a person, but it changes society and nations and changes the world, really. You know, the Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, right? And so as we go in soul winning, we find different people who you know, despise just talking about the gospel, talking about Jesus. And so it's really sad for that to be the occurrence. But really what they're really doing is they don't want for their sins to be exposed, for Jesus to come into their lives and change them. I'll touch a little bit about this in the main service of how it changes a person and the power that it has to change a person. But you know, we go and so people see that reaction, and then they go back to church and they say, they hate the gospel, they hate Jesus, and so we have to change. And so they change, and they try to, instead of going out into the world, the church going out and God into the world and preaching the gospel, they try to bring the world into church, right? And they try to bring concerts and all this worldly living in the church so they can attract people. But it's never been God's purpose for us to attract and to, not, I'm sorry, not attract, but to bring the world in the church. It's never been that way. It's for us to go, right? Go ye therefore, he says, and teach all nations. That is God's purpose for the church, is to go out there, and not for the church, and not for the devil to come and the world to come into the church so that he can attract the world. That's never been God's purpose. So it's never God's will for us to compromise. So the gospel convicts the sinner, it changes the most wicked human, and softens the hardest heart. And so that is what the gospel does. The same sun that melts the eyes is also the same sun that hardens the clay. And so we have to understand, either it'll soften the lost, or either it'll convict him to come to church. And so we have to keep that in mind when we go out soul winning and we go out sharing the gospel and we get a lot of retaliation, a lot of people closing their doors. We should never get to the point of saying we should change the gospel now because a lot of people are just not wanting it. No, we should say, you know what? We should continue. We should go on to the next person. And so we should keep going forward. And so it is really necessary. The gospel is necessary for us to go and share. It's something not just also for Christians just to keep it to ourselves, but it's also for us to go out and tell everyone about it, tell others about it, right? A lot of times we just know it here, but we never go out and share it. And that is true love, is when we understand the agape love, right? Not the foliar love, am I saying it right? But the agape love, right? That's the true love, that when you understand that Jesus had done something for you, that you're willing, that he was willing to die, and the true love to lay down his life for a friend, for those who he loved, that is the true love. When you understand that, then you will go out there and tell it to people. And so we need to understand. We need to have that agape love for us to go and tell others about Jesus, about the one who has changed our lives. And so as a missionary, I'm going to a place called Juchitán de Zaragoza, Oaxaca. And so if we take this city and just analyze it, I'll tell you, it has corruption, it has a housing problem, it has perversion, it has immorality. 1 in 4 people are homosexuals there. And really, their way of life is interesting because, it's really, if I'm honest with you, it's really known as an unhygienic place. I remember as we were going into Juchitán, being in the state, and we'd let them know, where are you going? They'd ask us, where are you going? I told them, we're going to Juchitán. Oh, that's an interesting place, they said. And he said, it is really, really nasty there. People are not clean, and so it's very unhygienic. So we're analyzing this. How do you change that, and why is it like that? I really believe it just shows their spirituality need, right? It just shows their status of their spiritual status, that they need the gospel. If we look at many cities here in America, we look at Philly. Yeah, I've heard of Philly. Philadelphia, yeah, man, I'm going to ask this, how many of you have been through Philly? Yeah, I'm surprised you're even raising your hand and are still alive to say that. Goodness. What about Chicago, right? Chicago, Detroit, we're talking about Detroit, Michigan. Another one that is really close to us, trying to think of Memphis. Right, Memphis, all the cities. So I'm naming a couple cities, big cities, but they're known for its crime, right? They're known for for all the problems that they have. You go through Philly and see all this filthiness of how people live, that they're in drugs and just syringes everywhere. You can tell they need help. They need the physical help as well. But really, 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 if you really study their life, what they need is Jesus. Amen. And so, and you look at society, you look at America as a whole, is really known for its hygiene, for having good hygiene, having, just being at least so far, right? It's going downwards somewhat here, but it's been known for its order, right? It's order and decency and just a place where you can have a race of family, at least in most states, right? Except for California. We'll kick California out. We'll just put California on the side, right? But you look at this cities that I just named, really, it shows that they have a spiritual need. And I asked my wife, and I think, be interesting to know, to see how many Baptist churches there are in this big cities here. And so I went down and St. Louis, Missouri, that's another one, right? It's a population of 269 people, 269,000 people. And as far as we know, there's only 3 independent Baptist churches. Memphis, Tennessee, for a population of 610,000 people, it only has 6 independent Baptist churches. And so Detroit, Michigan, with a population of 620. I don't believe this is true, but it says it only has one independent Baptist church. I believe it has more than that. But even if it has maybe four or five, that's still very little for a population of 620,000 people. Baltimore, it has 557,000 in population, only with 11 independent Baptist churches. New Orleans, it says here, New Orleans has zero Baptist churches. I don't know about that. I would say it has more than that. But you look at all this, they don't have as many Baptist churches. We're talking about Louisville, Kentucky. And for us, is Louisville, Kentucky is a rough spot. I did a couple jobs there when I was in Kentucky. And going through those towns, I could see, man, there's a need for the gospel here. And I would say this is accurate. It only has five independent Baptist churches. And so 616,000 people, 616,000 people with only five independent, I would say this is actually accurate, five independent Baptist churches. And so very, very sad situation. And you can imagine, take a look at this, just brainstorm with me a little bit and analyze ourselves. How many times have you shared the gospel and told others about Jesus? Right? Just analyze that with me. Let's say maybe three people this week. For five churches, for a population of 616,000, and each member, at the very least, shares the gospel to three people. But the reality, that's not the case. Many, many, many church members and independent Baptist churches do not share the gospel at all. They don't tell others about Jesus. They don't share their faith. They're not being witnesses. We're all witnesses, whether we want it or not. We're not being good witnesses. And so you could imagine having five churches and most of the congregation, very little of them, go out and share the gospel or tell others about Jesus. So how do we expect to change a nation, to change America, if we as Christians are not sharing the gospel? It ought to be our goal every single day to tell others about Jesus. And it convicts me as a missionary. It does. It truly does. It truly does. You know, as growing up as a young boy, I remember having gospel tracts, but never giving them out. But as I grew older, I came to find out, you know, there's a lot of power in the gospel. There's a lot of power. You and I do not know what a person is going through. I've heard many testimonies of people just giving out a tract, and that person that day is going to take their lives, and they don't have any hope. They don't have any solution to their problems, and they think that it is best for them to take their lives, and they open this tract and they see how Jesus loves them. Jesus wants to take them as their child and wants to take them on his arms. And they open that and they get to know that the truth that Jesus is the true love that they were searching for. And then forever, their life is changed. And then they start looking right behind the tract and they find out that there's an address for the church, and then there's the hours of the church service, and they show up. Sometimes they show up. Now, it's not all the time, and I know we cannot expect, right, for every single one of them to come to church, but one out of maybe 30 people that you share the gospel, maybe one of them will come. But if we don't even share the gospel at all, if we don't even give a tract, we might never get to the point of even seeing that one person come to church, right? And we won't ever get to a point of bringing someone to church or inviting people to church if we're not sharing it, if we're not giving out tracts, if we're not doing something about it, right? I believe it is God's way reprocreating or sharing the gospel and reproducing as Christians, right? Is sharing the gospel. And when a church ceases to share the gospel, it will soon die. And that is not the Bible way. That is shouldn't ever be the case for us. And so we find a lot of Calvinists, you know, and they believe in the tulip and the 5 points that they have. And so it is a sad situation when they get to that point, because some of them now, I believe some of them, are sharing the gospel. Now some of them are going out and teaching others about Jesus. But it's gotten to the point where most of them are not. You know, they believe in the election of the saints, unconditional love and all that, right? But the total depravity, and that you're dead in your sins, and there's no way I can convince you. You're dead. It's only Jesus, right? But just dead actually means a separation, right? When we die, our body, our soul is separated from our body, right? And when a lost soul dies, he faces another death that we know of, right? And that is the death of what? Eternal hell. And so we see again what? A separation between its creator and himself, right? And so death just means, right, we're dead in our sins. Of course we are, right? We're dead in a sense, just we're separated from our creator. We're separated from it. And then we'll touch a little bit there in the main service as well about why God has given us a certain ministry called reconciliation. And so why? Because we're dead in our sins. We're dead in our sins, okay? And so, I'm sorry, I don't want to bore you out too much, all right? Don't want to bore you out too much. And so, are we kind of getting somewhere? We're kind of getting somewhere? Sort of? All right. That's good. Well, the Word of God here, as I mentioned, we see a country and its problems, and it's just, unhygienic way of being. That should never be the case. That was never the purpose of God. You know, as Christians, we should be the example for all, right? We have the perfect Word of God. We have His Word. We should be able to live the life that God wants us to live. We should be an example to society. And so society that doesn't have God in their lives, you know, will be a lost society, an unhygienic society, and a society with full of corruption and full of injustice. And so we look at even, let's not go too far, in India, right? They have, I just lost the name of this, the river that they worship. Anybody know it? The name? The Ganges. The Ganges, yeah, right. Yeah, who said that? All right, you get a star. It's good. Yeah, and so, you know, how there is the most holy river, right? But you know, as we know, it is one of the most polluted rivers in the world. What a sad situation. But the Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 12 to 14, tells us here, thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whether thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a pedal upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. We ought to be clean people. We ought to be clean people. The Word of God talks about cleansing us. He talks about purity of heart, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having ye therefore this promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all unfilthiness of the flesh, and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So a nation living in such an unhygienic condition, such a such a disorderly conduct society. It just really shows their reflection of their spirituality shows that they need Jesus, right? You want to change someone's life, then what should we do? Share the gospel, tell others about Jesus. We see the third world countries, as I mentioned, right? As you maybe seen videos, I've seen videos of third world countries, and I've been to one. I'd say Huchitan is not up there, but it could be almost considered a third world country. They had parties every single day, and as you wake up, there's filth everywhere on the streets. There's just people who just left their trash and didn't clean up after themselves. This really shows their spirituality. They're just an unclean people, right? They haven't learned to be good stewards of what God has given us. And so the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 115 verse 16. You can go there too, and for the lack of time, you don't have to go there. And I'll read it here. 115 verse 16. And the Word of God tells us here, and it says, "The heavens, even the heavens, are of the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of man." We have been given something. We should be good stewards of it. Good stewards of it. We ought to be good stewards of it. And God has given us dominion over this world at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. So every time we go out somewhere, we don't litter, right? We don't, right? We don't throw trash and just leave it there and just make a mess and then leave and not clean up. I mean, as good Christians, we should have conscience of that and shouldn't do that, right? And so I believe that the nations like that, without God in their lives, they will and eventually go to that place of having such an unfilthy life. And even if they don't have that, they have a spiritual unfilthy life. And so that is sad. They have a lot of immorality, a lot of problems spiritually. And so so the gospel creates an impact, right? The gospel creates an impact. Not just of what we're sharing about, but about who we're sharing about, right? And Apostle Paul says, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome," right? Why? Because he knew that they needed the gospel more than they needed the money, more than they needed their emperors and Caesars, more than they needed the Roman government. They needed the gospel. And so we see when Elijah and the prophets and Mount Carmel, right, got sent fire from heaven. And after the showdown at Mount Carmel, God brought an end to the drought in Israel by sending rain, right? And so God creates an impact. And when you start switching back and turning to God instead of from God, away from God, blessings comes our way. Change in the society comes as well. Rivers start flowing in, right, in that sense. And so that's what we need. That's what we need. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And, I don't know if you've done much studying on the light, but man, does the light give a lot of do we need light in our lives? It's really important for life, for us to have light in our lives, right? Say light is good for your skin. For as much people, right, try to say it is not and try to cover away from it. It is good for your skin. And so it is important for us Christians to have the light. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." That is what we need, is have that light. I don't know, like I mentioned, if you've done studying on the light, if light ceases to exist here in this world, life will cease to exist. And if all of a sudden the light went away, and even the sun went out, man, what a total chaos this would be. What a chaos this nation and the world would be. And he says, "I am the light of the world." And see how people, whenever we come and talk to them, you can talk to them about any topic you'd want. You can talk to them about sports, but the moment you mention Jesus in their lives, is the time when they shut down and they don't want to talk to you anymore. Why? Because it is the light that exposes their sin. It is the light that exposes their lives. It is the light that will change and make a difference in their lives. A lot of people don't want that. A lot of people are just wanted, just shy away from it and still continue to live. And we look at Luke chapter 8 and how there was two demonic, two possessed men, right? In Gadara, right? The Gadarean demoniac. You probably heard that before, right? And now there was two of them who were possessed. Now we really know one of them because he did most of the talking. And but I'll touch a little bit in the main service about that. But see, Allah, you would think that after Jesus healed that person and turned his life around, you would think to say, hey, you know what, stay here a little longer and go ahead and fix the rest of our problems here. How about you heal this man? But they pushed him out. They say, get out of here, God. We don't want you here. What a sad situation that is, but it is the same response this world has given to Jesus. They don't want him. They care so much more about themselves, about their money, about their pigs, about their swines, that, hey, you know what? We don't want to lose enough more money. We don't want to see what you do. And if you make a change, we're going to lose money. So get out. Go somewhere else and heal the others. And so it's a sad situation. But see, they don't want Jesus because it'll change them. It'll change their lives. That is the reality of society. It will change their lives. This is just my introduction to my study, and I'm sorry if it's taken longer. But really, we need the light of the world. He brings life, and he shows us everything we've done wrong, and he shows us how to correct it and how we need light. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free, right? That's good. That's good. John chapter 14, 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Yo soy el camino, la verdad, y la vida. Nadie viene al Padre sino por mí. Y conoceréis la verdad, y la verdad os hará libre. Wow, what two great verses there. Why shall it profit the man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Porque qué aprovechará el hombre si ganara todo el mundo y perdiera su alma? It's what they need is Jesus in their lives. And it's our duty, as I mentioned, as Christians, to share that and tell it to everyone else in our lives. It exposes their dark spots. You know, when you're cleaning your room and you're maybe vacuuming it, and then, you know, the lights, if you don't have the light on, you might not be able to see where the dirt is and where you're cleaning. You want as much light as you can because the moment you turn that light on, you see all the filthiness, all the dust there, right? And I love those vacuums, the Roku vacuums where you're vacuuming, it has the little light on the front. I love it because you can see all the little dust and all those little... all those dirty spots, right, hidden. And so that is what the light does. And as I mentioned, if light ceases to exist, life ceases to exist. And so it would make sense for God to say, without me, you can't do nothing. We're nothing. We can't do anything. We're meaningless. He is the one when he comes into our lives and gives us a meaning, gives us a purpose in life. That's what you and I need. People out there without a purpose, without guidance in their lives, and they need Jesus in their life. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. A lamp shows us where we need to go. Light, a lamp. And it says a light unto my feet. That's what we need. That's what we need. May we never stray away from Jesus as well. May we never stray away from where that light dims so small in our lives that we have no guidance. And so it is important. It is important for us. You want to change the society. You want to change Baroka. There's so much things going on in Baroka. Right, preacher? Homosexuality. It's true. Witchcraft. Can't think of any other stuff here, right? You have everything. Let's just say everything, right? And the only way you and I can change this city, Baroqua, sharing the gospel, sharing the gospel, right? May you keep that in mind. Share the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. And I'll bring a little bit of more of a study of what the gospel does, and then even in the evening as well. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. I appreciate, Father, that you have given us the opportunity to share your word, Father, and Lord, help challenge us, Father, to share the gospel. Lord, we need you, and we need to share the gospel. Give us boldness to be able to do that, Father. I humbly ask that you would convict us, Lord, as sinners, Lord, to go and go out there as well, Father, to those who need you, Father. I thank you for the gospel, and thank you for, Lord, making us righteous in your eyes, Father, with your blood. I appreciate that, Father. We thank you for that. Help us, help us, help us, help us to realize that there's others who need that as well. And Lord, help us be a light into this world too as well. To have to know that